Our Old Testament text today is found in the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter, beginning in verse 1. It is my contention that one of the books of the Bible that Jesus turned to on a regular basis that helped him to decide what it meant to be the Messiah for God's people is the book of Isaiah. The 61st chapter gives us these words: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of God's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, and to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display His glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations." Sometimes we need to have reminders that our faith and our revelation from God is intimately connected to that of His revelation and His setting aside the Jews as His special people. They were called to be a light unto the nation. They were called to be a people who prepared the way for when the Messiah came, and they were a people who bore witness to what God was doing in the world. This particular part of the book of Isaiah is written to address a people who are coming back from exile. They are returnees to Jerusalem, and they are wondering about their place in the world, and they are wondering about God. And in their experience, sometimes we can see our own personal journeys, our journeys of faith, our journeys through life, our journeys of the ups and downs that life sends our way. For many of the returnees, they had never known the glory of Jerusalem. They had been born in exile. They had been born separated from what they thought was their inheritance. They had been born apart from what everybody else had experienced in life, which was a homeland, a place to belong, a place where you had a sense of security. And so they wondered not only about their journey, they wondered about God. For even though they were going back to the place where everybody said, "This is the promised land. This is the land of milk and honey. This is the land that God gave to our ancestors," they'd never known that land. They had only known what it meant to be in exile, to be aliens in a foreign country. You see, sometimes it is hard for us to see ourselves as aliens in a strange culture, because we are so much a part of everything going on around us that we don't realize that God has called us to be a part of something larger than that. He's called us to be a part of His people, of the inbreaking kingdom, and as a people who, as we move through life, will find ourselves quite often thinking, "Why isn't the world working out the way it ought to? Why isn't God's kingdom breaking in more fully?" And we do not recognize that we are still exiles in a land living in the midst of those who do not yet see the kingdom. Now, one of the ways you see this is in the very Christmas season. The theme today is joy. And the expectation for everyone, if you're a person of faith, is that of course you'll know joy during this time of year. But the reality is, we don't always know joy. Sometimes we still feel like we are aliens in exile. Our family life perhaps is not what it ought to be. We've experienced a kind of loss, and it always seems that when you lose loved ones during the Christmas season, there's like just a little bit of extra pain that goes with that. Because every time the holidays will come around, everybody around you will be saying, "Cheer up, have joy, be happy," all those things. But deep within, you hold the memory of previous days. You hold the memory of previous losses. And sometimes, joy is missing from the season. Now, when Isaiah writes these words to the people, he's saying to them, doesn't really matter what has been. What matters is that the God who created us as a people, the God who has called us to be delivered out of exile and sent back to our land, is still the God of deliverance and the God that can exchange the oil of gladness instead of mourning and the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. But the question remains, how do we access those things? How do we attain them for ourselves? Or do we even care about doing that anymore? Sometimes at Christmas, it is so easy to be caught up in the things that have to be accomplished. Getting out the decorations, putting up things, making sure everything is in place. And until you get old enough to realize that you can't ever do this, finding that perfect gift. Maybe it's for your spouse or for a child or even for a parent. Because parents are very hard to buy Christmas presents for. I don't know if you've experienced that or not. If they don't already have it, they don't really want it. So you have to kind of work through that. But as your children grow up, we tend to think Christmas is only for little children, but sometimes big kids can be excited. Ben was telling me just yesterday there was something that he was hoping for Christmas. I don't know if it's going to get, but you could tell that he was excited about that. It remains to be seen whether or not that excitement will yield the actuality of the thing. But all of us, no matter how old we are, have some memory of at least one Christmas somewhere in that long or short line of Christmases that we've had that we've been surprised by joy. And you see, right there is the way of understanding and thinking about joy. Even if you're hearing it from a person that is waiting to be surprised by it at a particular time, joy is not something you can go hunt down. Joy is not something that you can capture like a present in a box, and each Christmas you can just open it and remember that. Although every Christmas brings with it different kinds of memories. In our house in particular, whenever we're putting up our Christmas tree, we bring out this big box of ornaments. And we can track almost every one of those different places in our life. Up to and including our first Christmas ever in New Jersey. Christmas with no family around. Christmas with really not much in the way of pressure because we didn't have any money, so we didn't have to worry about stretching to buy presents for one another. But we went to two guys' department store and bought a 69-cent box of ornaments. Well, we actually bought a couple of them. And we still have about 18 out of 24 of those. And it is a remembrance of our time together as husband and wife. It is a remembrance of a special kind of Christmas. And that's one of the things that Christmas does. The different things that are around us remind us of Christmas past. But the reminder that should come to us is a reminder that Christmas is not simply about the decorations of the season. It's not simply about the presents that we will give and receive. But it is a reminder that God's gift to us came at great price to Himself. That God's gift to us at Christmas is not simply the innocent babe in the manger, but it is the babe in the manger whose mother holds him in her arms. And as she looks at him, she knows something of what the future holds. I think the way that the Gospel of Luke puts it is that she was told that there was a sign of contradiction, that the love she experienced by bearing the child of God was a love that would be ripped from her in the crucifixion. And so Jesus for her was always a gift that would only be there for a while. And isn't that the way it is sometimes with the gifts we have? Even those that we anticipate will be special, well, sometimes they just weren't as special as you thought. One year when Sam was little, and since Sam's not here, I can tell this story. We were searching for that special gift, and Kathy found in a catalog a remote-controlled flying saucer. Oh, we were very, very excited about that gift. Well, catalog writers can make things seem far greater than the reality. It proved to be a Mylar balloon with some little fans that you had to scotch tape to the thing. And the controls, oh my, it did not know its left from its right. I don't think the thing lasted a week after Christmas. It wasn't inexpensive, but you know, we still talk about it today. Remember that special present. You have plenty of things like that in your life. You remember that you tried, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it is just so completely unexpected that you're almost moved to tears by it. But you see, those are things that just happen. But the joy that comes in the season, the joy that the Scripture calls us to, is from being intentional about how we will celebrate Christmas. It's about being intentional about being a part of the community of faith. It's about being intentional in worship and coming with a spirit of expectation. I've had people leave church before. You'd just be surprised if you knew all the things that people said to me. But I've had people say that they've left church disappointed with the sermon that day. Not very often, thankfully, or I might be doing something else now. And you're trying to get the crowd through, so you don't really have time to engage in conversation. Sometimes what you receive from something is based on the expectation you have. Because I've had other people at Sundays that, frankly, I was disappointed with a sermon as well. And somebody will say something about it really spoke to them. You see, you never know when you come together what is going on in people's lives. Because Christmas may supposed to be the happiest time of the year, but that's not always the case for people. Because based on their life experience, there will be different things going on there, and there will be things that people respond to in different ways. So as the church, we are called to embrace the past. We're called to remember what God has done, to remember the mighty acts of God in history. But we're also called to embrace and make those things a part of our lives. In Sunday school, we've been doing some of the early chapters in the Gospel of Luke, and we've been reading in a new version of the Bible. And today it was very clear that people had been, as they read those stories in the Gospel of Luke, that they had been thinking about those in light of the season, and they had been recognizing that sometimes just having a new telling of the story is a way to help you see new things about it. I always encourage people to go back and read the narratives or read the birth stories of Jesus anew and to ponder them, to think about them, to make them a part of your life. For we recognize that if we are not celebrating the birth and the ministry of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then we've missed the whole point of the season. Now, there are all sorts of things that go with it. And at Young at Heart this week, Gene Wickham, where are you, Gene? I can't see you. Gene is making us share at Young at Heart. She won't let us just come and eat. We have to share different stories. And this week we shared stories of Christmas. And there were, well, I'm trying to search how many generations were there. There are lots of years of memories there. And those Christmas memories that we shared, revolving around the church and around family and around gifts, or sometimes when there were hardly any funds there for gifts, but still the joy and the excitement of the season that came. We will always know loss in the world. And we should be prepared for that, because sometimes the test of our faith is not how we are feeling when we are joyful, but it is what strength we have when we are feeling that lack of joy or indeed just out-and-out sorrow. Because the message of the Scripture is that life is always going to be filled with ups and downs, and there will always be loss and there will always be suffering. Viktor Frankl, a famous German psychiatrist, I knew the word would come. Sometimes I have to pop words to get them out. A famous German psychiatrist who was imprisoned by the Nazis during World War II because he was also Jewish, said in his seminal work, "To live is to suffer. To live is to suffer. And the trick is to recognize that when suffering comes, you still have a choice about how you're going to respond to it. As a people of God's creation, we are called to respond with hope and with faith, that even when we don't see the way forward, even when we don't see joy, even when we don't even see any hope of joy coming on the immediate horizon, we are called to be a people of faith. We are not simply fair weather Christians, but we are Christians who are called to commit our whole lives, including loss and gain, to God, in trust that He will see us through. Every pastor wishes that he could give a congregation a Christmas gift. The one that I would give to you is one that you have to accept for yourself, and it is: be open to the experiences that are around you. Saturday, that was just yesterday, wasn't it? Hardly 24 hours ago, we were at Bueller's working on the calendar for the year. And where I was sitting, out of my peripheral vision, I could see up into the restaurant because we're back in that back section. And I looked over there at one time, and there was this little boy, couldn't have been probably more than about 14 months old, had his jammies on, and I know he had his jammies on because they had feet in them. And he was just crawling around the floor and carrying on. He was so happy. Now, I don't know what made him happy. Was maybe he was with grandparents. Maybe he didn't get to go out to eat breakfast very much. Maybe he's not allowed to crawl around in public in his jammies too much. But the one place where I think you're most likely to see joy, but you have to catch it because sometimes it's fleeting, is to watch the children around us. Because you can be so low, and the smile of a child can lighten your whole existence for that day. The Christmas story is not simply about the smile of the baby Jesus, but it is about God smiling on us and saying, "I love you enough to give you my very best. Will you accept it, and will you make it a part of who you are?" Let us pray. Lord, as we come into your presence today, we recognize that we bring many different feelings, and joy is simply one of them. Help us to know that when we go searching for it, trying to capture it, we're in all likelihood going to miss it. But help us not to miss it when it comes our way unexpectedly, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn today is number 120, not surprisingly, "Joy to the World." Now may the hope and peace and joy of the season be yours both today and for the rest of the season.
Thank you, Melissa.
I had to ask Andy, like, what was supposed to be.